Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss. Episode 15. So I have a special guest today, and I'm very happy to have here with me Eric Huberman. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good to be here.
It's so great to have you here. Eric is founder and CEO of Hack Media, a full-service outsourced CMO based in Santa Monica, California, that has been valued at $30 million. As a serial entrepreneur and brand marketing expert, Eric is a sought-after thought leader. He is the recipient of numerous awards, including Forbes 30 Under 30, Inc. Magazine's Top 25 Marketing Influencers, and a 2016 Telly Award. I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now, and I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Sure. So I'm basically running a company called Hack Media. It's like an outsourced CMO and marketing team to companies. We're about 95 people, actually maybe a little larger at this point. And, you know, I'm passionate about growing companies, whether it's my own or others. So I was fortunate enough to build a business around the idea of doing that. So, you know, I have a business where I grow by growing others. And so it's been very fun.
That sounds great. 95 people, you said?
Yeah.
That's terrific. And you are all in Santa Monica, or you are located all over the States?
We're all in Santa Monica, all full-time in our offices.
That's very impressive. And where are you heading? What's in front of you?
Yeah, so we're continuing to grow and build. We've already become a pretty sizable agency, and we're 3.5 years old, so it's grown very fast. But, you know, we want to build this new guard of how we can help companies. I started this because I felt that the marketing agency model was broken and that there should be an easier way to grow your business that wasn't hiring a full team or having to hire these agencies that frankly didn't know what they were doing. So got sick of it, and this is how we started. And so started with 7 people 3.5 years ago and have grown to, it'll be actually 3.5 years next Thursday. And we've grown to, you know, 95 plus people at this point.
So congrats. You are almost celebrating the 3.5.
No, we're going to keep going.
And tell me a bit about the company. What is unique about your model? I do agree with you that advertisement model is broken for many years, though, mm-hmm. I must say. And what is your model? What did you describe? What did you do different, which surely works?
Sure. So basically, we've built off the idea of, you know, first off, no long-term contracts. Everything's month to month, because if we're not doing good work, you can fire us. Like, that was number one. You know, I always felt that way on the brand side. I've had 3 of my own e-commerce brands. And so I never understood why people would try to lock people into these long contracts. I mean, I understood why, excuse me. I just don't understand why. It didn't make sense for the customer, and it was one of the only industries that wasn't focused around the benefit of a customer. So I just didn't like it. Number two, having enough services and different options in terms of different expertise that you don't have to run around grabbing different agencies, trying to vet agency after agency to find out if they actually know what they're doing. Got sick of that as well. And then one of the biggest differentiators is actually having a high-level expert working on every account so that we, you know, are able to continue to drive and pivot and help these companies, not just the first time we talk to them on an ongoing basis, because I used to hate the order taking that happens with account management.
And what kind of companies do you work with?
We're about 70% e-commerce, about 20% B2B software, 10% kind of varies. And it's, you know, the idea is people that want to grow their revenue on using digital marketing. That's probably the best way to put it. The companies we work with are pretty wide. We work with about 160 different brands.
Well, you know, this podcast is all about customers and how you focus the right customer. And I want to ask you, how did you figure out who your customers should be and who are they? What are their characters? Because you talked what they are doing, but are they big companies? Are they young companies? Are you talking more about entrepreneurs, more about established companies? And how did you figure out these are the customers that you should focus on?
Yeah, it's anyone that needs our help. I mean, that's the beauty of what we do is small companies need this because they can't afford to hire an in-house team. Large companies need this because they need extra bandwidth when projects come up. So it's like we're able to work with every size company. We work with anyone from startups out of people's garages to Alibaba, Red Bull, and Verizon.
Wow.
Because they all need help from people like us that know very specific expertise in email marketing or in Facebook or in search or in SEO or in web design that they can't always drum up. If it's a big company, they don't always have the bandwidth in-house from that specific team. And then if it's a small company, they definitely don't have those people.
That's correct. And did you change something about the customer you focused on or just kept going?
I mean, it's not really, again, it's more of inbound than outbound. So it's not really like we focus on a customer and attack. It's more companies come to us, get introduced to us, et cetera, is more how we've grown. So our customers continue to be the one that picks us.
How do they hear about you?
Word of mouth, companies that have worked with us, that like us, you know, that say, oh, you should work with Hawk Media. I've been working with them and they're great, that kind of thing. A lot of our names, we've just built a positive name.
Hmm. And you said that you are located in Santa Monica. Does your customers located there as well, or you are serving customers all over the states?
All over the world.
All over the world?
Yeah, we work in about 12 different countries at this point.
And you work through internet, online with all of them?
Yeah, or on the phone, on Skype. There's a lot of different ways we work with them. I mean, our clients, even the ones in LA, barely come into our office. It's more, everything's done remotely.
You started to talk about it, but please tell me or tell us about your concept of beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customer. And give our listeners your best advice for their customer's approach and focus.
Make sure you're understanding why they need you. Like, what is the purpose behind them wanting to work with you or buy your product or purchase your service, whatever it is. You need to understand the reasoning behind it, the logic behind it, and the emotional appeal behind it so that you can actually position it in a way that, you know, shows them, like, this is what you've been looking for.
Okay, they should focus on the customers. They should understand them. Do you have any advice how should they do that?
You know, I usually say, like, it's good to be your own customer, or would have been, because, like, that's been where we've been successful. Is I've had three brands, I've hired agencies, I've hated most of them, so I knew what I was looking for and what I didn't like, so I was able to create that, and, you know, was able to understand that there were a lot of people like me, so it was easy to build that out. You know, I think that was a huge advantage with what we built, because founders of most agencies I know don't come from running their own brands. And so there's always that missing empathy of, like, understanding what the needs of their customer truly are.
It's interesting. You know that the best advice that I think all, or perhaps almost all of our guests is the same advice.
Yeah.
Which is, in a way, very interesting, but in the other way, we don't hear that often. You can't read it often. People are not talking about it. It's like a hidden secret of the good ones.
Yeah, it's just knowing that other side of the table is super important.
Eric, you are very successful. However, I would like you to talk with us and to tell us about your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey. It can be either from this company or for the startups you had before. Can you tell us this story?
Yeah, I would say more on a, like, fundamental and what would you say, like, real education approach. I had a client that was messing with us a lot, messing with our payments, you know, playing games, went through a problem with their own business. And then my team, you know, kept messing with paying us for the work we were doing. And then finally, after working with them for 2 years, my team made a small mistake that was easy to rectify. But they chose not to rectify it and to live with the consequences as opposed to, like, just fixing what we broke. And those consequences ended up costing them opportunity cost, a decent amount of money. And they took that and decided we owed them that money, even though they didn't take direction on how to rectify the situation. So we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then I didn't hear from them for, like, a couple months. they wanted to go through my insurance to cover it, which my insurance did exactly what I would have done, which is like, we didn't, you know, we researched this and we don't owe you anything. Like, this is ridiculous. And so when they did that, they sent some low-level employee to tell me that they weren't going to pay me for like 4 months of work. And so then that's when I let my ego get in play. And instead of trying to find a way to fix the situation, I mouthed off to them and said, you know, well, tell them that it's a lot cheaper to hire an attorney and have them sue them for the money than to just let that go. So they'll be hearing from it. And it turned into this whole mess of back and forth yelling. And they're, you know, they threatened to run my name through the mud and all sorts of stuff, even though, again, we have done nothing wrong. But still, from a business like mine, it just didn't do anyone any good to make a comment like that. And I just learned to keep your ego out of it. Like, anytime you feel like you're reacting through emotion or ego, just squash it. It doesn't benefit you. Because it ended up ruining could have been actually a much bigger relationship. Even though they were a pain, it was still making money. And logically, there was no reason to do that. And so learned a big lesson about, this was a long time ago, but learned a big lesson about how to deal with those situations.
Wow. Thank you for that. I must say that I had a very, very, very similar lesson about involving attorneys. So thank you for that. And I would like to ask you about your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something you did right about approaching your customers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just treating everyone with respect and, again, keeping your own ego out of it. And just, I talk to my team all the time, like, especially with the business we run, we're basically taking people's, like, life dreams and their entire passion, and people put everything they have into their businesses. And when they come to us for marketing, like, it's easy for us with 150 clients, or even if we had 20 clients, to say, oh, whatever, like, it's another client. And it's really important not to forget what you're actually working with, which is someone else's dream and life. They could have put their entire savings into this business, and it has to work, or they're out on the street. And that is a lot of times the responsibility we're dealing with. And keeping that in mind has consistently been important, because when we treat it that way, we gain a lot of word of mouth, we gain a lot of business, we gain a lot of respect and reputation. And at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Can you please give me a specific example? It's clear that that's the way you are working. But can you tell me about one story?
Yeah, it happens a lot. I mean, like 2 weeks ago, we had a client. He was complaining to me, you know, hey, you know, your team doesn't really seem to be doing right, da-da-da-da-da. And he's giving me all these complaints about what my team's doing. And I'm looking at everything, and everything looks like exactly what they should be doing. So I start talking to him, and I'm listening, and I'm like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I went, you know, basically through asking a lot of questions, which I always do, I don't comment on anything. I just go, oh, well, what's happening here, and why is this wrong? Why? It turns out that all he was complaining about and what he was angry about was something that he actually wouldn't let my team work on. It was the website wasn't working well, and he didn't hire us to build his website. He hired us to do advertising, but my team had actually stopped advertising because the website wasn't converting and said, you need to fix this. We can do it for you. And he had said, no, I want to do it myself. So when I got on the phone and when I figured that out, I was just like, hey, listen, like, what I wanted to figure out here is, are you asking me to help you as from one business owner to the other because you need help to make this work? Or are you actually saying that my team did something wrong? And what it turned out was my team had done nothing wrong. He just was tight on money and needed to show results to his board really quickly. And his own development shop had been the problem. So what we were able to do is talk through that and go, okay, well, my team can fix that. And now my team is fixing that for him and everything seems fine, because he was up against this, like, he's just pressure from all sides. A lot of times when someone's getting pressured, they're going to go pressure the people around them. So he came to me freaking out, and it turned out that it had nothing to do with anything my team had done wrong. I needed to jump in and just basically bridge the line of communication.
And why do you consider it as such a success?
Because it turned from him complaining and basically seeming like he was ready to move on and not work with us to actually doing more work with us, because he realized, oh, wait, no. This is what I need to do, and this is not Hawk Media's fault. This is not something they did wrong. And so not only did we save a client, but now we may be able to save his business because we have the opportunity to fix it, versus just what could have happened is argue back and forth, told him we did everything right. He goes, you did everything wrong, not ask questions, not dive into it, not respect him.
I think it's a great example of putting ego aside, which isn't easy for anyone.
Yeah.
Never easy. You are mostly in the world of digital, but can you recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focused marketing or sales?
It depends on your business. I don't want to paint with a broad brush.
For yourself.
For ourselves, HubSpot has been the best tool we've had. You know, it has a combination of automation on marketing as well as the CRM side that's simple enough. Like, don't get me wrong, every one of these platforms have their challenges, and there's plenty of frustrations with HubSpot on our end. But generally, they have so much right about them that it has helped us build out our entire sales team off this.
Is there any service provider, like a mentor or a consultant, that really had a major impact of your customer success and can help others?
Yeah, I would say probably the best is Influence & Co. It's a really good, like, kind of ghostwriting thought leadership company. So when we deal with brands that are trying to build their, you know, that need to build a personal brand and all that, Influence & Co. has been great.
And what is the one thing that you are most fired up about today?
Sure. I mean, it seems like we've started to build a company where it can grow without my direct input. 3.5 years in, I'm still our top business development person. I'm still growing the business personally, actively. And there needs to come a point as a CEO where you're not, it's not so reliant on you. And we're starting to get there pretty quickly. And so that's become very exciting.
You know, there are many things that usually impact our success, and a lot of things are involved in succeeding. However, what is the most important, the one key success factor that you said, okay, I look at my business, it can be either this business or before, and this is the one key success factor that really made it for me?
I would say just getting it done. That's been the biggest separator between what I've seen as successful and unsuccessful, is people that just actually execute, like go get this stuff done. And like, if you have ideas, you have, you know, things you want to do, it really just takes doing it. I know that's ridiculous and sounds simplified, but most people I know don't actually get things done. They don't execute. They just come up with an idea. They talk about all their ideas they have. They talk about this business they're quote working on, but they don't get it done. They don't execute on it. And then it just never happens. So that's been a big one.
I don't think it sounds silly or obvious, because I think it's the hardest thing to be and to find those who really execute. I've been saying it for 30 years. With marketing, it's especially difficult because you need people that really know how to imagine and create and be creative. But then you have to take it down to earth and make it happen. And I totally agree with you on that one. Finally, I just want to ask you, what is your last piece of guidance, and what is the best way for people to connect with you?
Last piece of guidance, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's a roller coaster. So not letting emotion get into it. If you get too high with the highs and too low with the lows, you're going to drive yourself crazy and it's not sustainable. You have to keep a level head on both sides. You can't get too excited with a win, to be honest, and you can't get too sad with a loss. You just have to look at it objectively and dive in. When you have a win, you have to figure out, okay, well, now that we had this win, whether it's an award or you had a big client or whatever, now how do I build off of this? And when it's a loss, you have to figure out how to fix it, not sit and wallow in it. You know, it's about moving through those emotions. In terms of getting a hold of me, on every social media platform, it's @EricHuberman, EricHuberman, and happy to chat.
So thank you so much. We will have at our show notes every link to anything that you just talked about, from your company to other things as well, and to your recommendations. So our listeners can either look at it there or contact you.
Yep.
And thank you so much, Eric. It has been very interesting to listen to you.
Thank you very much as well.
Keep succeeding. You're doing it great. Bye-bye, thanks.
Bye, thank you.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.